Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Noss. This is where we affirm the power and the fun of the dreaming and of using coincidence and imagination to grow bigger dreams of life. My new book, perhaps you found it, is called Growing Big Dreams. Perhaps you want to look for that. There's also an audio version narrated by me. So you can put up with my strange Anglo-Australian accent. You might enjoy that too. Do go over to my website, nossdreams.com. You'll notice that out of necessity, because of the pandemic, I'm now leading lots and lots of online courses. And there's a new one starting for the Shift Network this month called Dreaming Your Mythic Life. The whole idea is one that I first heard from Australian Aborigines in my native country, which is the big story is hunting the right people to tell them. And maybe your big story is hunting you if you're the right person to live it. And if you find your big story, or let it find you, maybe everything will change for the better. Because you know what? When we're seized by the drama of a mythic sense of a larger logic, a larger purpose in our lives, we can sometimes be helped to get through the ups and downs. Well, someone I know who's very good at getting through the ups and downs of life, and she survived some big ones, is my dear friend Jane Carlton. You might hear me call her Janie. We've known each other for a while. Jane is both a dream teacher. She's graduated to all levels of my training for teachers back to dreaming, which, by the way, is also now online. I've known her from workshops and adventures we've shared, from starting in Esalen in California many years ago, 15 years ago, maybe more. She is also a certified gemologist and a very successful gem appraiser, jewelry appraiser, much in demand. And so we thought of the theme of this particular conversation as Dream Appraiser, bringing together her jeweler's eye, literally, with the way that she can find the gems in our dreams and separate the gems from the tawdry stuff, from the fool's gold. Welcome, Janie.
Hello, Robert. It's nice to hear your voice.
Good to hear you. And you're back from Maui. You got in and out before the dam burst. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'd heard about that.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about how these two careers, these two callings that you are serving and living as a jewelry appraiser and gemologist and dream teacher and dream activist, how they converge, how they flow together, how dreams inform your work as a jewelry appraiser and gemologist, and how your understanding of how to look at jewels and stones might help you to look at dreams. Talk about that.
Okay, thank you. Well, both of my passions involve real deep glimpses into the depths of both the stone and the dream. And so when I look at a gemstone, I'm always looking at them under a microscope, and I'm looking at the internal world of the gem. And the internal world of a gem is, first of all, they're like universes in there. Every gemstone has its own unique world within it, just like a dream has its own unique world. And by looking at the different features inside the gem, I can identify a lot of things about it. Sometimes the location of where it was mined, a lot about the quality of it, and also there'll be hidden. Sometimes there's hidden gems within gems, like you'll see a garnet crystal within a diamond sometime, or a little baby diamond crystal inside a larger diamond crystal. There's a lot of different things that we see. So my work involves a lot of detail, really looking at what I'm seeing. And the other piece of it is feeling into the qualities of the person who may have owned that piece of jewelry. I get feelings about what their life may have been like. I get a sense of the connection of community and spiritual connection and art and the various interests of the person who owns the jewelry also. And just like working with dreams, there's a real healing piece about working with somebody to do an appraisal. If somebody has brought jewelry to me that belonged to their beloved loved one who has passed, it's an opportunity to really celebrate that person in small ways as I work. And so they both have symbolism. They both have story. They both have deep inner meaning. Dreams and gems work really beautifully together. And then in
you
my
just
own...
Said something, you, yes. Janie, let me interrupt you. Mm-hmm. You just said something beautiful about honoring the spirit of the person who had owned that jewelry. And I want to ask you a question I don't think I've ever asked you, though it comes up in my mind often when dealing with estate business and personal possessions and so on. Do you sometimes feel that the spirit of the person who wore and used that piece of jewelry needs to be taken care of in the sense of given somewhere else to go, but they might still be attached in some way? Has that feeling ever come to you?
Sometimes. And I think that there are times where I will say just prayers myself to that person, just, you know, blessings to you, blessings for a long life lived well, blessings to you on your journey going forward. And so it's just kind of it's a way of holding a sacred space for that person. And yeah, sometimes I will get some fairly strong emotions around that person, and feel real empathy for the journey of that person's life, even if I don't really know what the specifics are.
Well, you're a highly empathetic person and therefore doubly qualified to do this work. Do you ever feel, I mean, I'm astonished I've never asked you these questions, having known your work with jewelry for some time. Have you ever thought it's necessary to cleanse a piece of jewelry in the sense of separating out any energy attached so that that doesn't stay with it when it goes to a new home? Has that been something you've ever felt it necessary to do?
I have, and there are times where jewelry needs to be alchemically transformed. I have a little quick story of I had a dream about Las Vegas the night before I was meeting with a client who had inherited jewelry from a relative who had actually been very involved with the mafia in Las Vegas.
And oh, great. We've got a Vegas mob story. This is good. We're on the edge of our seats now.
And this jewelry was all the old, you know, 60s, you know, diamond encrusted, you know, casino hotel logo and the cufflinks that people don't really wear anymore and the blinged out watch that has the casino name and, you know, and this client shared with me that, that it had all been left to the family many years ago, 20 years ago, and it's been living in a safety deposit box all these years. And the client was really not comfortable with this jewelry, and yet also felt like, oh, it's part of the family legacy, you know, the family heirlooms. I felt guilty about maybe selling it and, you know, moving it out of the family. And in this particular case, it was really appropriate for the jewelry to be sold so that, first of all, it's not a burden for the family to hold on to it because nobody's going to wear it. And the other piece is that when it gets sent, this is the type of jewelry that most likely would end up going to a refiner. And the gold itself would be melted down and re-alloyed and basically go through a chemical, an alchemical transformation in a physical sense, which is also in a metaphysical sense. And so and we talked about that. We talked about how appropriate it was to let it go, don't have this attachment with this, and also let it be and recycled. It's good for the environment to recycle your gold, actually. So this was a case where, yes, this jewelry just needed to be transformed. And we both felt it. We talked about it, and we both felt it. We truly felt that this was just not something to hold on to.
fascinating story of a story that obviously is not staying in Vegas, right? Vegas. You know so much about gems, you know so much about stones in general. Do you associate particular stones or gems with, let's say, different powers or styles of dreaming? I don't know whether I put that clearly enough. I'm just wondering whether, for example, you yourself might use a certain stone or a certain jewel if you wanted to dream or vision things in a certain way, or protect yourself in a certain way, or you might recommend something like that to other people.
I do, and the first thing when someone asks me which gems or crystals they should use in their life for healing, etc., would be to see what shows up in your dreams. See what's the color of the crystal that shows up. People dream of stones and crystals and gems all the time. So the first thing to come up with an individual stone for someone is to just pay attention to what's showing up in the dream. There are old references, old books that talk about and lore and story from many, many cultures about what various gems are good for various things. And that's fascinating to read about. Pliny the Elder wrote in his Natural History, I think his book 37 is all about gems, and it's fascinating to read that and to see some history. But for me personally, I became really attracted to the Herkimer quartz crystals. I come from Herkimer, New York, years ago, and they're lovely, super sparkly, doubly terminated quartz crystals, which means they form with a perfect point to, often on both ends of the crystal. And so they have an amplification feature, and they're sold as dream crystals. They have a reputation as being good for dreaming. So years ago, probably 30 years ago, I got my first Herkimer, and now I have a collection of them.
All right, Janie, I'm going to interrupt you again, because within my line of sight, on the top of bookshelf in my library, is a huge chunk of Herkimer crystal, literally almost as large as a basketball, which was gifted to me by someone who used to go sort of amateur quarrying. It is immense. You know, it is immense. And I've used it a few times. I just feel it's a sort of great power reserve sitting there. But I'm getting shivers now from what I'm about to tell you. You know that the Native American people I had to get to know because of my dreams are the Mohawk people. Well, their indigenous name is Kanyekahaka, which translates more or less as people of the stone. Well, what stone? There's been a scholarly debate and a native debate about this since forever. I decided some years ago that they are the people of the Herkimer Diamond. They didn't call it that, but that is the stone. That is in their territory. Herkimer is in Mohawk territory. And I actually think that it was so important to them that they actually took the name of the people. When they called themselves the people of the stone, they're talking about that. So you just brought me deep into one of the most profound encounters with the land and the spirits of the land that I've had in North America. So thank you for that.
Thank you
for talking about that. When I think about my own dreams and my own experiences in life, particularly living in North America, the stones and precious things that have been most important to me, just to give you a short list, are garnet. I mean, I've taught for many years up on a mountain, which is the oldest garnet mine in North America, and the garnet energy is still alive. The mountain is wounded in a sense, it's still very much alive. Garnet, from my dreams, not particularly North American, azurite. I had a vision which William Butler Yeats showed me, an azurite crystal, said it was a way to see into deeper worlds. Jade, nephrite, jadeite, all the variations of jade, including the one that we find at Big Sur, you know, Big Sur jade, jadeite, that's been important. And probably most important of all has been amber, which of course is the jewelry of the trees, the jewelry of the resin. I've had incredible experiences in my dream life, in my vision life, with the people of amber, and because I have traveled to the Baltic, where we get the oldest amber on Earth, I've had experiences in ordinary life of the uses of amber by wood witches and other people. So those are some of the stones and precious things that have been important in my dream and imaginal life over the last few years.
Oh, I love that. And I have a lot of different resources on gems and things, and I was looking through my files, and I have these cards that were produced by the American Gem Trade Association that just gives little descriptions of different gemstones. And I was looking for ones that mentioned sleep and dreaming, and there's a lot of references out there to old books that talk about the lore that was, of course, an oral history for many years about various gems, and sometimes this was written down. And garnet, it says on this little card, dream of me and I will reveal the answers to your questions.
Oh, that's nice.
That's garnet.
Jenny, you're so good, because just before you said that, I picked up a little silver stag. It's the head and a rack of a back of a stag, and his shoulders, and over the heart is a garnet stone. So just before you started saying that, I picked up, was holding in my hand a silver stag, just the shoulders and the head and the garnet heart, which is a talisman. I mean, it's from that mountain. It was made by a silversmith with a garnet from that mountain, and I'm holding in my hand a garnet shown as the heart of a stag while you're telling me that. So that's pretty good timing.
I love that.
Good, aren't
and we? We are good. Yes. There's several fabulous books by an author, George Frederick Coombs. And he was at one time one of the vice presidents of Tiffany and Company. He was a gemologist, mineralogist. I think he was self-taught in many ways. And, you know, the turn of the 20th century, he was very active. And there's even a gemstone named after him. It's a pink spodumene called kunzite. And anyway, he has a couple of wonderful books. One is The Curious Lore of Precious Stones, and it's a guide to the history and powers of gemstones. And looking through here, he mentions a dream book that he says probably composed in the 8th century A.D., and it appears under the name of Achaemenides and is of Arabic origin. And in this book, there's a whole list of different gemstones. And just like the books that you see that are published that are dream dictionaries, this is like that. So, you know, we have to be careful about how we look at it. But it's basically the lore that I think was prevalent at the time. And garnets here say the solution of a mystery. So if you dream of garnets, it's somehow connected to the solution of a mystery. Which is similar to what the AGTA says about answers to your questions. And I wonder the mysteries of the heart, the stag and the connection of the heavens and the earth and the powers of the stag, and the red garnet is always associated with love and power and passion. And so it's such a lovely stone, in particular the red garnet. The garnet comes in all kinds of colors.
Yes, well, it makes me nostalgic for the age before the pandemic when we would, you've actually never been up on this mountain, maybe one day that will be possible. We've taken a group of shamanic dreamers, active dreamers, dream teachers up on the mountain. We dream with the spirit of the mountain. This is also Mohawk traditional Kanyaka Haga territory. And, you know, the stag is the animal of sacrifice when you think about it. The stag gives its life, and traditional people ask it nicely to give its life. Mm-hmm. And the antlers represent spirituality in two important senses. First of all, they reach beyond the physical head into the spirit world, so the antlers are a sign of spiritual connection. And secondly, of course, they fall off and they grow back again bigger than before, so they're an incredible symbol of regeneration. So the marriage of the stag and the garnet, as we've been talking about, is a lovely thing. And one thing you're teaching us, Jane, and inspiring us to think about, is the extent to which we might use, you know, jewelry, crystals, special stones as talismans, reservoirs of power, even a space to hold the energy of a dream or vision. You know, they used to do this. The Anishinaabe, the Ojibwa people, used to do this. They would, they'd have a big dream, a big journey, or big shamanic experience, and they would choose a stone within which they could find the landscape of the dream or the vision again. They thought that the whole landscape, maybe a whole world, was inside the stone. And if you kept the stone carefully and used it wisely, you could travel into the world and find that landscape inside the stone. I always rather liked that idea. We've actually done some things like that and some experiments we've attempted in my workshops.
I love that idea. And, you know, there are times when I'm looking inside a gemstone, and really, literally, there's a world in there. You know, sometimes I'll see what looks like a shooting star. It's another crystal that formed, and as the outside crystal grew, it created this line of, you know, sparkly features that looks like a shooting star. And you can really meditate. You can really go. It's such a great tool, gemstones of any kind. And crystals, you know, they don't have to be cut gemstones. It's just having that, there's something about it, the magic of the stone. Do we have time for a quick story?
We'll take the story after the break, Jenny. We're going to take a break so we can look forward to a story. Jane, you can find Jane at yourdreamingself.com, is that right?
That's correct.
She's also a fantastic dream coach, fantastic life coach in a sense, because she knows all about the application of active dreaming, which is our name for our original synthesis of shamanism and dream work. She knows how to apply that to solving your problems in life, to dealing with relationships, to dealing with soul loss, to dealing with depression, to facilitating healing. So we're talking to Jane Carlton, yourdreamingself.com, and she has a story for us after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Do go over to MossDreams.com, my website. A lot going on, lots of new online courses, including, I'll say it again, an exciting new one for the Shift Network called Dreaming Your Mythic Life, which is starting in 10 days or so. Our wonderful guest today is Jane Carlton. You heard her talking about gems and with jewels of thoughts about all sorts of things, and she promised to tell us a story. Jane, tell us a story.
Oh, thank you. Well, years ago, one of my earliest workshops with you at Ethel and I, we actually did dream theater on a dream that I had of a meteorite landing in front of me with a little prospector who came with a little hammer and was chipping out peridot from this meteorite, and it was a big dream for me. And shortly after that, I went to the Tucson Gem and Mineral Shows, which I attend every year. And I woke up from sleep one morning, and I with the thought, I have to buy a meteorite to honor this dream. So I went out shopping to find a meteorite, and I found a meteorite that was basically the same shape as the one I dreamed, and it was, yeah, I could fit it in my hand, beautiful thing. When I went to buy it, it turned out this was the anniversary of the day that this meteorite fell in Siberia. It's called the Sikot Alin meteorite fall, and it was February 12, 1947, I think it was. This was the anniversary of that day that I bought my meteorite. And when I hold that, the meteorite, it has such a heavy heft to it that it is very, very grounding. And you were talking about how can we use some stones to work with and to be with. And I also bought a moldavite. So the meteorite comes from outer space, comes from the heavens, and then I bought a moldavite, which actually fits right over this meteorite, and the moldavite is basically a greenish glass that happens when a meteorite, scientists are not 100% sure of how they form, but the prevailing thought is that when a meteorite hits the earth, it will create these moldavites that are flung up into the atmosphere and then fall back down on the earth. And they are very light. The heft is very light. So I will hold both of them. The moldavite is light in one hand, kind of glass-like, and the meteorite is very heavy. So I feel it's a masculine and a feminine principle. And the moldavite is formed and born when a piece of space, you know, outer space hits the earth. And this is something that came from a dream, had a nice synchronicity with the anniversary, and then I can really use these, and I work with them specifically when I feel like I need to get a more balance in my life.
Great. Let's go full shamanic for a moment. Let's talk about quartz crystals and citrine in relation to things like soul retrieval. I used to do a lot of soul retrieval practice. I stopped doing it many years ago when I realized that what I wanted to do was to help people become shamans of their own souls rather than do it all for them. Nonetheless, people get themselves into such a mess that they need intervention sometimes. So I used to do the journey of the shamanic practitioner to find someone's missing soul part and bring it back, and then the physical operation of transferring that, putting that back into someone's heart and head and other parts of their bodies. And I would use quartz crystals, and as I went along, particularly citrines, as soul receptacles, soul vehicles. And I tried to understand what was going on from the point of view of a soul aspect of someone that was being encouraged to come back to the body from wherever they'd gone when life got so hard and so cruel that part of soul went away. And I saw these beautiful structures like a crystal palace, so inviting and so beautiful, where you could dance all night in the happiest way, and warmth and friendship within the citrine, and purity and innocence and so on. And I thought, maybe this is really what it's like. I mean, I think, and I think you do too, that soul loss and soul retrieval and soul recovery are all absolutely real things, that in life we run into danger of losing a part of ourselves and might go somewhere else, and maybe a good therapist or a good friend could help to bring it back, but sometimes, you know, a shamanic intervention might be required. Anyway, as I say, when I used to do the full-scale shamanic operation, I would use quartz crystals and citrines in particular as time went along, as receptacles for soul, places where soul could feel comfortable in transit on its way back from wherever it had been back into the body of someone and needed to get themselves together. I found that quite a beautiful experience.
It is a beautiful experience, and it brings to mind about 10 years ago, and you wrote about this in Dreaming the Soul Back Home, When I was in Thailand, I had a dream that you were showing me a crystal that had a little castle inside of it. And it was a quartz crystal in my dream. And right after that, I had a very big healing dream of being rescued. And I actually had a physical piercing pain through my heart. And I worked with that dream and stayed with it and over the course of a couple of hours of this deep pain in my heart. And it was an incredibly healing soul recovery moment for me. And so that's you were doing it in the dream state, and you were there helping
well,
me with
thank
that.
Thank you for recalling that. I do remember that now. What a beautiful experience it was. If you're also recollecting for us that what happens in dreams is surreal. Dreams are real experiences. Dreams are fields of action and interaction with other people, and that things can be accomplished in the dream space, which will play over in the physical body, in the physical world, in helpful or, depending on what's going on and how you're handling it, unhelpful ways. I think that's a theme that's going to come up in our next segment. The next segment, I'm going to give Jane a dream of mine from last night, fresh material. I'm going to ask her to play Dream Appraiser for my dream. And I think one of the things we might find ourselves discussing around the dream, not only in relation to this dream, is the idea that dreams are real experiences. In dreaming, we might go to a reality no less real than the physical world. And as Jane was talking about, here is something that resembles the experience of the soul on its way back to the body that I talked about, when a crystal is going to be used as conveyor and transit lounge, seeing the castle or a world inside it. And she's doing that in a dream, and it's real, and the effects are real in the body and in the soul on Earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that. Jane, do you use or keep quartz crystals yourself?
I do. Yes, I have them all over the place here. I'm in my living room, and yes, I do.
I mean, Jane's apartment, which I've been privileged to see, is like the most magical rock shop you could ever. I mean, rocks as in stones, not as in rock and roll. And let me also say that Jane's been a very good friend of mine for a long time. She's also hosted my workshops in the Bay Area, particularly in a lovely space in Berkeley. We do look forward to the time when post-pandemic we can start doing all of that again.
Yes, we do.
So, if you're going to be ready, we are going to take a break in a moment. We're going to come back and we will let you play Dream Appraiser. I give you a new dream from last night, and you can guide me through the steps as you choose to do, and give us a sample of how you turn your jeweler's eye on dream material.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies daily oral rinse and toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find The Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss, and our wonderful guest is Jane Carlton. YourDreamingSelf.com will find her. If you're looking for a coach for dreams, for life, for growing big dreams, Jane might be the person to reach out to. If you're looking for a jewelry appraiser, too, she's fabulous. All right, Jane, I'm going to let you play Dream Appraiser now. If you're willing, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to tell you a dream from last night. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's fabulous. Please, I'd love to hear your dreams.
It's not really a long report, but the details seem important, so I'll go slowly, and I'll give it a title. Coffee and Centaurs at the, wait for this, Abba T. Izawe Museum. If you don't know what that name means, I don't either. We'll come back to it. All right, Coffee and Centaurs. And let me just tell you the dream, exactly as I remember it. The Abba T. Izawe Museum. All right. I'm in a desert landscape, and in the middle of it is a quite beautiful, modern glass and stone structure. It's a museum. It's a private museum. It's reminiscent of ancient buildings, but at the same time very modern. I think there's one of those signs that stands on its own in front of the entrance, and it says, Abba T. Izawe, I-Z-A-W-I. So this seems to be the name of the museum or the name of the benefactor. And the name sort of stays with me throughout the dream. That's completely mysterious. So I'm in the museum. I'm going to give a workshop, of course, in a space in here. But I am absolutely stunned by the beauty, the elegance, the unique quality of the extraordinary things in the museum. I'm drawn in particular to one sculpture. Well, it's a wooden carving. It's a high-relief wooden carving. In other words, the figures don't emerge completely from the base. And it goes up and up and up. It's incredibly tall. It seems to go up to the skylights, high above, several stories above. And I can't figure out what it is to begin with. It's fascinating. What are those? Are those apes hanging from trees, two apes, swinging their arms? I look again. I look from different angles. I suddenly realize I'm looking at centaurs, that they are depicted in a style I've never seen, nothing like the conventional depiction of centaurs, which are half-human to the waist. No. The sculptor has crafted these centaurs so that the human, very primal human heads, are the muzzles of the horses, if you can picture that. The muzzle of the horse is also a human head. And the human torso of the centaur is like the rest of the horse's head, and its shoulders, and then it goes back, and it's a fusion of horse and human. Not the things we see that are human from the waist up. Horse and human are intertwined, interfused throughout the body of this dual animal, both horse and human. They're mixed together in a way which seems to me actually to evoke the time when the connection between humans and beasts, humans and animals, was much closer than it is in the modern understanding, and when, you know, they're completely mixed up together. Anyway, I'm incredibly excited by this. I'm trying to get a picture of it, and the reason that the heads are dipping or muzzles are dipping is it's like a horse drinking from a stream. The centaur has dipped its head to drink from the stream, and the human mouth is opening to drink from the stream the way the horse's mouth would open. But they're absolutely mixed up together. So this is fascinating to me. And there are other fabulous objects, but that's the one that I noticed. Then I go into the workshop setting, and as usual, we've got lots of ladies and not very many men. We've got about 3 men and about 30 people. And the men are volunteering, and they're pretty good in performance, and they're being helpful with healing, but that seems perfectly pleasant. And now suddenly it's early morning. It's the same sequence, but now it's early morning. I guess I stayed there overnight. I'm not sure. And I'm wandering around, and things haven't opened up yet, and I see a beautiful cart with a wooden cart with a coffee pot on it. And I think, well, I'd like some coffee, but it won't be hot, will it? And I pour some coffee into a little cup, a delicate little cup, and it's hot. And, Janie, it's the best coffee I've ever drunk. I mean, I taste it absolutely delicious. I'm astonished in the dream. My sense of taste is vividly alive. I love this coffee. Is there any more? I pour some more. No, it's just hot water now. But even the hot water tastes really good. So I'm actually reluctant to get out of bed, even though I can have French roast coffee upstairs, because I know it's not going to be as good as the coffee in the dream. So although people say wake up and smell the coffee, I want to stay in the dream tasting the coffee, and I'm tasting the coffee when I wake up. And those are the highlights of the dream. I come out feeling great.
Oh my gosh, what a wonderful dream. I can smell coffee now.
Yes.
Well, how did you feel when you woke up? You felt?
I felt top of the world. I mean, I felt really, really, really good. And I also had another feeling, which you've heard me describe this way. I had a just-so feeling. Okay, I was there. I did that. I mean, it happened. It felt absolutely real. There were extraordinary things in the scene, but none of it felt like something that is only symbolic or that is just a movie set. I mean, there are all sorts of things being arranged here in extraordinary ways, yet I felt it was a completely real experience. I went there, I was in that museum in that desert. I was there, and then I came back.
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, that is a, of course, we know that's a real experience there. And so there's a just so right there. And I love this. You said it was the Abati Ezawi Museum. Was that E-Z-O-W-I-E? Is that correct?
I saw the spelling. I mean, I tried to do some research. Abba, A-B-B-A, we can talk about these words. T,
okay.
The initial T, and then Ezawi, spelled I-Z-A-W-I. That's its name. And we can talk about those words.
Okay. I had it spelled differently, and so yes. Okay, reality check. First of all, can any part of this dream happen in waking reality? In waking
I'd love to be invited to a private museum like this to do a workshop, and if I did a workshop, we'd probably use some of the extraordinary art and artifacts as a focus for journeys and so on. Just imagine these centers. Imagine what you could do. I have done things like that. I've done things with artworks, made them a focus for a journey or a meditation or something. I could see us having an incredible time at a place like this. I don't know this place. I don't know where it is. I think it's in the Middle East. It could be in a desert environment, California or somewhere, but I really think it is in the Middle East somewhere. I don't know that. Well, I lead workshops all the time. Janie, I would say that throughout the pandemic, I've been leading at least one workshop every night in my dreams. Usually in really interesting places that I don't know yet. And this is another example of that. We have more women than men in my workshops almost all the time, except in France, where I haven't been recently. France, for some reason, gets 50% men, but not elsewhere. And actually in the Baltic, we get a lot of men in the Baltic. But in the United States, we get a lot of women proportion to men. This Abba T. Ezawi, I have no idea, except I recognize Abba. Abba, I thought it meant father. It does mean father in Aramaic, and when Jesus talks to God in the book of Mark, he says Abba. That's what he says to dad, father God. I sort of recognize that. Ezawi doesn't really turn up. I did some research. There's a word like it, Ezawi, which is associated with the ancient Phoenician city of Sidon, which is in what is now Lebanon. So that sort of is a Middle East connection. But the name is basically mysterious. I've been playing with the words, but they have not yet yielded. Full value.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the centaur in mythology? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, centaur has a very important role in mythology. The centaur can be fierce or friendly in relation to humans. Centaurs drink a lot, and they can be wild and violent and untamed. And yet the centaur, in the stories of Asclepian healing, is the teacher of the great healer, Asclepius. It is the centaur, half man and half beast, that teaches the figure who's going to become the very embodiment of healing, the great healer who becomes a god. So we're going to have to take a break, but let's continue. If you don't mind, let's continue with this dream, and we can pick up with the tale of centaurs, because I have something more to tell you about centaurs when we come back after the break. So you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. I'm in the midst of enjoying Jane Carlton play Dream Appraiser for One of My Dreams. We'll be back after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer of webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Do go to mossdreams.com. You'll see, amongst many other good things, that I am about to launch a new course, new online 7-week adventure of the Shift Network called Dreaming Your Mythic Life. I'm enjoying my mythic life because I've just been discussing centaurs with Jane Carlton, who is a dream appraiser as well as a jewelry appraiser. And I was saying to Jane that part of the significance of the centaur in mythology is we think of Chiron the centaur, who is a teacher of Asclepius. And Chiron is a wounded healer. He's suffering a wound that he cannot heal himself. And he's a teacher, half man, half beast, of a man god who becomes a personification of healing, especially through dream medicine. In Greek tradition, it becomes the center of a cult of healing through dreams. So Chiron has a huge importance there. But when I think about the sculpted, carved centaurs in my dream, I'm thinking of a very primal level of human understanding, human visioning, and of time when humans and animals could shapeshift, you know, very substantially, if not shapeshift fully physically, at least shapeshift very convincingly in their energy bodies. And actually, I've been reading a fantasy novel in the middle of the night, which is not about centaurs, beginning to hint at the fact that in the old magic, the very old wood and village magic, you know, humans and animals could shapeshift beyond what we think today is possible outside fairy stories and ghost stories and horror stories. Anyway, so I felt in the presence, it's a beautiful thing, this carving. But I also felt in the presence of a very ancient and primal kind of magic.
Yes. Yes, it's fascinating. And then the letter T, this is something that, if you were to, is there a way to associate with that, what that T may be in the name?
Oh, you're good, Jane, because sometimes the role of friends is to point out the obvious, which you can't see for yourself. It's obvious the T must be important, but I didn't think about the T at all until you asked me. Well, you know, a T intersection, you can only go one way or the other, unless you reverse yourself. A tau cross, T-A-U cross, that's the form of the cross. T is a letter, what would it stand for? Maybe Thomas comes to mind. Model T Ford comes to mind, you know, the prime form of something. So I don't know what the T stands for, but if I just think about the symbolism of the letter T and the shape of the letter T, lots of things start streaming through.
Yes. And Robert, what would you most like to know about this dream?
Well, I'd like to know how to get to this museum, actually. I'd like to go there again. I mean, on the cerebral level, on the head level, I've been fussing about the name associated with the museum. And you took me to an interesting place, the T, which is more open to speculation. I guess I'm most interested. One of the things that excites me is the taste of the coffee. I mean, the taste of the coffee. I'm very interested in dreams that bring our senses alive beyond sight and hearing, and I could taste that so vividly. So that's interesting to me. But I guess what I'm most interested in is these figures of the centaurs. I attempted to draw them. Actually, not a bad drawing. I put it up on my Facebook page. You can look at it. It's an absolutely fresh way of seeing the relationship between animals and humans, which is handed down to us through mythology and folk tales. But this is not any of the classical images of the centaur. It's something unlike anything that I've seen. And there it was in this museum. So I guess I'd like to know what else is in this museum. This is one of the unique pieces. So I guess I'm building up to saying what interests me most is knowing more about what's going on in this museum and who chose or commissioned these things.
Yeah.
And my museum was actually someone else's museum. Am I the real master of this museum, or is it really someone else's, like Abba T. Izawi?
Yes, I love that. So would you like to know what I would think if it were my dream?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, I am really intrigued by the name, and it just pops out when I look at the T. I also see the word abbot, which is refers to a sacred setting, and then with the Abba meaning father. So there's something here about it being sacred for me, and even the image of the cross and et cetera. So, and for me, it feels like an old place. It could be, like you say, the Middle East, the birthplace of, you know, so many various religions, and so yes, this is a fascinating place, and I love walking through this museum and seeing all of these objects. So I think that this primal image of the centaur centaur-like form is something that it would be really interesting to dream into more. And it's a connection with something very old. And, you know, when we go into museums, I know for myself, when I go into a museum, I am struck by magic at every turn. I mean, any object in a museum is essentially a portal to feel into that time and place. And so I think for me, with this dream, I would go right to an action plan, which would be to re-enter the dream. But the way I would do it is by getting some fabulous coffee and a perfect little cup, and have a ritual of pouring that coffee into the cup, having a sip, and let that be my vehicle to help me dream my way back into this museum to explore it some more.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's brilliant, actually. Yes, that's so obvious too, Janie. But it's funny, I don't drink a lot of coffee. I mean, as you know, I like a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, as strong as possible, but after that, I can skip coffee, unless maybe I've got a long workshop there and I want to have a little coffee during the day to keep myself revved up. But the idea of the caffeinated journey back to the museum that had such great coffee unexpectedly, that's a very good idea. And I can actually see, I can see actually fairly clearly the large, airy, well-lit space where the sculpture of the centaurs is. I can't necessarily identify at the moment the other artworks or artifacts in the room, but I can see the layout of the room. I can see the huge picture windows. I can see the lights from the skylights. So I might have a good shot at getting there, and I guess if I go there, I can try and find who's in charge. I mean, who invited me to go to the workshop here anyway? Is it going to be one of those dreams where you discover that the whole space is actually your own, or is it going to be one of those dreams where you discover that you're not just dealing with your own property, you're, you know, in a larger reality where there are other beings who have their own agendas? I don't know. Anyway, it's certainly giving me the assignment of dream reentry is excellent. Thank you.
Yes. And just to add to that quickly is because we were talking about the garnet earlier, and the lore is that it brings answers to your questions, I might bring the stag along with the garnet heart on this journey.
That's interesting. He hasn't been with me for a while. In fact, I lost track of him for a while. I wonder what happened. And then he turned up again, and now he's sitting right in front of me as we talk. He looks as if he's perking up. He looks as if he's shaking in his head in agreement. All right, that was good stuff. So we just did a demonstration of dream appraising, which in other words, giving your opinions about a dream. But we also did the four steps of what we call our lightning dream work process, which for my money or lack of money is the best, most interesting way of sharing dreams and stories that we have. It can take a few minutes. We took a bit longer because I was indulgent and wanted to go through the detail, and Jane was indulgent with me. All right, we've been talking to Jane Carlton. She's a dream coach, a dream teacher, a gemologist, a jewelry appraiser of really great ability and great popularity, and you can find her at yourdreamingself.com. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. We'll be back for a moment after the break.
Ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we've been enjoying talking to Jane Carlton, sharing some dreams. She asked me for a bumper sticker from my dream, and the bumper sticker would be, you know, dream and taste the coffee. We talk about wake up and smell the coffee, dream and taste the coffee. Thank you so much for sharing and for dream appraising and for sharing all your jewel-like experiences of life, Jenny.
Thank you, Robert. It's been wonderful.
All right. So as we go forward on the roads of life, may our doors and gates and paths be open, and may your best dreams come true.
May it be so.
All right. Thanks, everybody.